we stand. And that's what happened last week. The man got up, picked up his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And then Jesus said, get up, and the man got up. All right? Well, what are we supposed to do after we get up? Stand there? Hey, look, Jesus! I'm up! Were we to stand in the spot where Jesus told us to get up, we are not doing anything. I believe with all my heart that is part of the problem with our faith in our churches today. We say, look at us. We got saved. Okay. Congratulations. Look at me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Great. I'm all about that. However, if you stand there, both you and the church who is charged with guiding you have failed. Go ye therefore into all nations and make converts of all men. Right? Wrong. What's the word? Disciples, followers, those who are continually and constantly going with Christ. We have to move, all right? We have to go. We have to not just stand, but listen, my contention is we have to not just walk, we have to run, all right? See, some of us are content with standing. You can't be. If you stand, you're going to stay where you are. If you do what you've always done, then you're going to be where you've always been. That's just the way it is. You're going to have what you've always had, all right? Over and over again, the treadmill, all right? No. And if you walk, I don't believe we were supposed to walk. I believe that we were born to physically and spiritually run. So let's look at Paul, all right? Let's look at Paul. Let me get it on a black screen so you can read it. All right, here we go. Not that I, in Philippians chapter 3, all right, we're going to break through this. We're going to go 3 and part of 4. Not that I have already obtained all of this. Guys, I'm going to say the same thing as Paul, okay? I'm hopeful that on Sunday mornings I'm a step ahead of you in this race. Not all of you, but at least a majority. I'm hopeful. That's not always the case, but I hope, all right? And I want to be able to say, come on, this is where we're going, all right? And I'm running, but I'm running with you. I'm not out there going, hey, come get where I am. No. I'm running with you, just trying to lead the way, all right? That's me. Not that I have already obtained all of this or that I have already arrived at my goal. And we're going to talk about what that is. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, and he repeats himself, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, not calling myself paralyzed anymore, not laying on the ground anymore, not looking back at the pool or at the bed which held me for years, I focus my eyes on something and I run toward that something. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward. All of us who are mature should take a view of such things. If you are contemplating the next step in your spiritual maturity journey, then you have to take such a view. Well, what is the view? If on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. If there's some point in your life where your mind and your heart changes, if at some point in your life your attitude actually flips, we're going to talk about what that is, that you are reminded. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, all right? Set your thoughts on things above. If you finally have that flip, switching, that was going to be a hard thing to say, flip switching transition in your life, at some point you think differently, God's going to help you with that. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained, joined together, joined together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do, for, as I have told you, and I'll tell you again, there are enemies out there to the cause of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their own shame. Their mind, here we go again, their mind, their thoughts, their will is on earthly things. Here's what happens, folks. We get that oomph that gumption, as the rednecks would call it, to be more, to want more. We get fired up in a revival at camp, at the edge, even in church some days. We get the gumption and we get out into the world and we see this shiny thing. We get spiritual ADD, that shiny thing, this money, that food, all right? And we start letting the world remind us of what we were. Come on. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our bodies. Transform our bodies. That's the first part. Now, P, I'm going to need you to put chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 in there for me, all right, for just a minute. Now, here's something interesting that happened, all right? Paul begins that whole thing with, hey, we're supposed to forget our past. We're supposed to let it go. And most of you would argue with me, Craig, that's a lot easier said than done. Church, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Church, can I get an amen that that bad relationship you were in still is heart-wrenching, that mistake that you know and you've let out is still down on you, all right? That thing that drug you down that happened to you is still weighing on you, and putting it out of your mind is just, it's difficult. It's a nightmare. Would anybody agree that that is the case? All right, so we have Paul, the writer of half the New Testament, the missionary, the gospel giver outside of Jesus, all right? And here's what he does. He says something that's so strange, all right? He says, hey, forget what is behind and reach for what is ahead. One chapter before, not even a whole chapter before, I want you to listen to what he says. This is just like 8 verses earlier than what I just read. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. If you think you're a religious person, I'm more religious. If you think you can stand for the gospel, I have more reasons. If you think your past is bad, mine is worse. If someone else thinks, and there it is. If someone else thinks they have reasons, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in the regard of the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. So, 8 verses earlier, Paul says, hey, look at me. I'm the Hebrew of all Hebrews. Listen to my mistakes. I was the one who was killing Christians. I was the one who was there when they were stoning. I was the one overseeing all these things. You think Pharisees are Pharisees? I was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. Paul, if you would like for us to think about our future instead of our past, why are you reminding us of your past? Isn't this a little contradictory? You want us to forget our past, but you want to remind us about your past. What's going on here? Here's the deal. When I said attitude, when I said the reminding, when I said the knowledge of will, there's a word in there. It's a Greek word called phronai. I know that you can't read the top line. That's Greek, okay? But underneath it is the root word for that, phroneo, okay? In the Greek, every time this word is used, it means one of the things that I've put up there. An understanding, a way of thinking, a mindset, an attitude. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus. The focus of your mind should be that of Christ Jesus. Like-minded, adopting a view. Here's what Paul is trying to say. He's trying to say, most of you want to forget your past in a way that is not healthy or not helpful. You try to leave it there, and then when it's convenient, or when you're hurting, or when things get you down, or when you're not setting your mind on things above, on earthly things, you go back and pick it up, and you play in it like a dog returns to his vomit. That's in the scripture, too, in case you were wondering. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. That's what we do. And Paul says, I'm not asking you to forget it in a human way. I'm asking you to have a whole new attitude about it. I'm asking you to take what I used to be. Paul says, look, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. My understanding of the scripture was something to be attested to, something to be strived for. The zeal that I had was amazing, but it was wrongly directed. Had I taken that zeal and phronied, set my mind on things above, had I taken that passion and had the attitude of Christ Jesus, had I taken that thing which tore my life down and redirected it on something more valuable, then God would then have a servant of the magnitude of Paul the Apostle as opposed to Saul. Well, Craig, I don't understand. Are there not things in my life that I look back on and I go, well, that maybe wasn't the best decision. Are you sure? Are you sure? I've got some photographs I want y'all to look at, especially us adults. Okay? For those of you who say, I don't know about our past. I don't know if there were ever any bad decisions that we made in the 70s. This is how some of our parents dressed. And Greg's like, I had that outfit. Oh, how about the 80s? This was me right here. Yeah, I told y'all, one strap down. My senior photo looks like this. I was going to put it up, but I wanted to save myself that. Anybody do this to their drawers? We called it tight roll. All right. Apparently the word is pegging. Pegging. All right, pegging. Oh, what about some of our fitness attire? And that hair. Oh, anybody with the hair? Come on, the hair. These were good decisions, right? Whoa, fellas. Right there, baby. Preston, I want to see it. Oh, wait, let's bush it up a little bit. Tina Turner's hair on a man. Come on. Dare wear short shorts? Somebody started early. All right, come on. No, Lord. Yeah, I'm stuck on this one, though. I'm jealous. Oh, that's rough. Somebody said I was jealous. Listen. So if we make fashion faux pas, right, which we have, and we have let them run abound, all right? The poof, y'all remember the poof? Glamour shots, come on, all right? We've let that run amok, all right? What we don't do is throw out fashion. Hey, if we can't dress right, let's just go nude. Some of y'all are like, but hear me, isn't that what we do spiritually? We make a mistake and we want to push it out completely and act like those things aren't even there to learn from, or that would be the same example. Paul is saying, I'm not asking you to push it aside and learn nothing of it. I'm not asking you to throw your zeal out. I'm not asking you to throw your passion out. I'm not asking you to throw your leadership ability out, because that's what made Paul, Paul. It was the phronai, the mindset. All right? The mindset that he had toward what he was doing set on the world and on leadership rising in the world instead of our citizenship is in heaven. I set my mind on things above and I use my zeal and my passion and my hope for those things. Some of you have an addictive personality. All right? That's just fact. You have an addictive personality. I'm thankful. Listen, I got issues, but I'm thankful that for the most part, that is not something that I struggle with in any way with anything. All right. That's not in general. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm saying that's not one of my struggles. Okay. It's just not, but some people are born with that type of personality. I know what mine are. All right. We talked about that. All right. But what if we had that repetitive go back to addictive personality to loving people, or to reading the scripture, or to falling for, maybe we just bounce from one relationship to the next. I need someone in my life, or I can't feel, gosh, girls, young women, listen, I see so many of you with this personality. The guy that I'm dating, the person that I'm with, gives me value. All right, that is what value makes value in my life. And if I'm not dating, then I'm not valuable because nobody wants me. That's senseless. What if your passion was for something or someone that will never leave you or forsake you? It's a renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to re-access our phronai, redistribute our passions away from the things of this world, away from self-centeredness, and toward God and others, okay? That is where Paul goes next. Is that in there? Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for. Listen, my joy and crown. Remember he said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize? Right after he says that, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord. The word for crown. Can you give me back all the rest of the... There we go. Yes, those. Listen, here. Stephanos. Crown, garland, honor. We don't have a word for this in our language, but the closest thing would be the gold medal. Okay? It doesn't just happen, and everybody can't just get it. Now, we can make medals and put them around our children and give them for participation, give them for winning, give them for spelling bees, but you and I both know that there's a difference in the gold medal at the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics, when they're standing up on the podium and the flags come down and the Star Spangled Banner plays and they bite into it to show the whole gold thing, and all of us are crying for no reason because they're telling us a story about somebody's mother's uncle who sacrificed time as their 8-year-old moved away and put in all of this effort to become Olympic champion. The idea of the Stephanos comes from those twigs that were woven at the first Greek games and put on the heads. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They look kind of like ivy. That was the Stephanos, the apex of what I strive for. And I want you to see what Paul says he strives for. He says, you, my community. You, my brothers and my sisters, are my joy and my Stephanos. How do we come out of our paralysis and into a renewed mindset? You're gonna feel like I'm repeating myself, but it's right here in the scripture. Life groups. It's when we're running to the hospital. It's when we're taking our leftover family dinner from Wednesday night and all together dropping them into Amazon ordered Chinese containers and running those containers to Randy, who in turn puts them on plates and then delivers them to Miss Mamie and then delivers them to Rhonda and Mike, who are in the hospital, and then delivers them to Les's brother, who's not even a part of the family, but he's a brother of our family. Taking the efforts and the gifts of the body and putting them to work in a Christ-like mindset that says, I sacrifice me for the sake of us. This is the phronai and the Stephanos. This is the mindset of the crown. This is the joy of the body. And do you know what else God does for you? You know, people all the time, they use this word. Why do I keep falling back? I just don't have the willpower. I want you to hear what happens. I know. I want you to hear what happens, okay? The word phronai, okay, is also defined as the will or the will of God at times in the scripture. One of the prizes of running the race faithfully. Remember Mother Teresa? She said, I did not call you to be successful. I called you to be faithful. Keep on running. One of the prizes of running the race well is being in tune with those who run with you. And as those who run with you run with Christ, something interesting and extraordinary happens. The prize, or that word prize, all right, is also translated to match the word from phronai to mean the will. One of the gifts that God gives us as we run alongside Him is His will. Craig, can you prove that scripturally? Sure, I can. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Not that I have given you a spirit of fear. I have given you a spirit of power, of love, and it's translated two different ways. Sound mind or self-discipline. Remember, Paul said, I no longer live. When we get to the point where our maturity is happening as we run this race together, what happens in us is Jesus takes over for us. It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives in me. This is the prize. This is the Stephanos. And this is how our joy is made complete. It is the gift of God in us that brings us out of our paralysis, pats us on the backside and tells us to run, and says, while you're running, I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to renew your spirit. I'm going to recreate something in you. I'm going to live in and through you. And by the power that created the world itself, that carved out the valleys and brought up the mountains, that brings in the waves and pushes out the oceans, that power is in you to overcome. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Rises within us. And it takes a marked moment where we go, no longer am I a slave to this world. My identity, my citizenship, I own my calling in Christ. And when that begins to happen, we start not standing, but running. And as we run, we become more and more and more like Christ until such a time when we are in fact with Him. There's an Old Testament character that plays that out and represents that more beautifully than any other. Anybody know who I'm thinking of here? He walked with God and was no more. Anybody? Enoch. We only get a couple of verses on this man. We know that he was old. Hundreds, I believe, of years. This guy gets up and he literally walks with God. And we also know that he's one of two people in the scriptures who never died. Why? Because this guy walks so fervently and so fluently with God that we almost literally watch them come together. One day he walked with God and was no more, no longer a part of this world with God. Ah! How do you get there? Go with God and go together. Can you say that with me? Go with God and go together. Say it again. How do we become an unparalyzed church and an unparalleled witness to our town? Go with God and go together. And this will bring the joy and the crown, a renewed mind, and the victory in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we want to long. We say we long. We go to church and act like we long. God, may your Holy Spirit do what only your Holy Spirit can do this morning. Would you send that Holy Spirit into each teenager, each adult, each wife, each husband, wherever they are on their journey today? Would you just reach down into their heart and pour, like Niagara Falls, a longing. You create a longing in their heart for them to want to be different than they were yesterday and more like you tomorrow. May they look around the room at people who have hurt them, at people who have loved them, at people who have ignored them, at people who they don't even know, and see the joy and the crown of the community of Christ that each one of us is. Would not our church and our town change if we saw one another as the jewels in the crown of Christ, as valuable, as wonderful, despite all of our shortcomings? Would it not be a better place if we saw one another and went, I love them for who God made them to be. They are my Stephanos. They are my crown. They are the prize for the race. And one day together, we will all finish the race. In Christ. He who began a good work will be faithful to carry it on to completion. That's chapter 1. Have the attitude of Christ Jesus. That's chapter 2. Run the race. That's chapter 3. And do it together. That's chapter 4. What a beautiful book. Thank you, Paul. Now, divinely give us a desire, each one of us, to want that. In Jesus' name, amen.